first drinks tonight. That's not
fair.
Allison told me to say that. She wants to see if you can help.
Get together and prepare those ones. Dead even, how's that? No?
We'll both determine how broke we are.
Yes.
Maybe we can find some paper crafts downstairs in the cabinets, you know. We can put something together down there, amen. Listen, if you have been saved, you've come to a saving faith in Christ, but you have not been baptized, I am going to fill the baptism tank up, don't forget, next week. And Hannah Lily wants to follow the Lord and believe his baptism. And so if you have family members who have not been baptized, though they have come to a saving faith in Christ, then kind of ashamed to heat that pull up for just one person, but I'll do it.
Amen.
Because I also have to get in there. And I want it to be nice and warm. You know, it's amazing. I don't mind cold weather. I do not like cold water. Weird. Anyway, we're looking at the man Moses. And a message entitled, Adversity Has Its Place. Adversity Has Its Place. Well, Moses is undoubtedly is one of the most unique figures in the scriptures. God called this man the servant of the Lord. In several places, Deuteronomy 34 and verse 5, Joshua 1 verse 1, chapter 1 verse 13, 8 verse 3 and so on, just all the way through some of the first several books of the Bible. So the question is, so how does one become such an important figure? Not only in history, but in God's grand plan and purpose. How does one become a servant at that level? Well, number one is he made himself available in that he allowed God to make him a nobody so he could become a somebody. Our problem is we want to be a somebody so that God can make us a bigger somebody. God typically doesn't work that way. God will bring us sometimes to the low valley so he can bring us up to the mountaintops. So if you turn to Exodus chapter 1, we have been there before, we're just going to start there again. We come upon an adversity, and as I've read through here on a number of occasions, what would you do if you had been married and had children at a time like this when, look at China, who puts a limit on the number of children you can have, and then you have to abort them or whatever it is they do over there. What would you have done if you had been in that day and age, newlywed couple? Would you have known the edict that had gone out from Pharaoh? Would you have had children? Or you said, I'm not going to bring children into a world like this. Well, I've heard that even here in the United States, we don't want to bring children into a world like this. So the first point is we look at Exodus chapter 1 and verse 22. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Now I can see the abortion crowd gleefully clapping their hands and smirking from ear to ear. Today we don't throw them in a river, they just throw them in a garbage can when they're done. But that's not the point of the message. First point is God's most unique tool, adversity. So while we try to shun any form of adversity, we need to be careful because God may be bringing that adversity into our lives to shape us or to mold us or to give us a clearer direction or to build us or to humble us. But consider the historical record for a moment or two. Number one, I can think of a worse time, or I should say I can't think of a worse time and place to want to get married and to start a family. Not a lot different than today's proposed legislation. The cruel hearts of wicked men continues in the lies of abortion crowd today. They're Pharaoh's, what do you want to call them? They're descended from Pharaoh, spiritually speaking anyway. But the methods may be different, but the hearts are every bit as wicked and vile today as they were in Pharaoh's day. Now, we know that God had provided a couple of midwives there who found it not just only repugnant, there was just no way. I mean, they put their lives on the line. And they lied to Pharaoh when he asked them and brought them abreast of, why aren't you doing what I told you to do? And they said, well, the Hebrew women are quick to give birth. So it was such a despicable time as this that God chose to bring Israel's deliverer from bondage, to deliver people from their bondage. They came down in freedom, and it wasn't very long before they found themselves in bondage and as slaves. So it was a miserable time to be Jewish, having gone from favor to disfavor, from freedom to bondage. And though it would sometimes, before Moses would be able to realize the character of the years in which he was born, much like those of us who were born during World War II, I was born in 1944, I mean, I had no idea the hardships that Americans were going through, or the European theater people that were there, they were going through. I had no idea, completely oblivious. And so as you go through school, you begin to learn, hey, wait a minute, I was born, that stuff was going on while I was born, I was at home having a good old time and whatever else. And I'm sure that when Moses was growing up, he probably didn't completely understand initially in those very early years. But it was a time most dangerous to be baby, to be a baby boy. Some could use the phrase, the most dangerous place in America today is the womb. Though today it carries beyond the womb if you're unfortunate to be born in New York, the state of New York, to indifferent parents or to a parent. And so it is important for us to get the gospel out, to get people saved so they can have a change of heart. And then it wouldn't be any use for the law they've got over there. It wouldn't be any use for it whatsoever, but you've got to get the people saved first. So how does one escape the vile laws of a lawless people if you are unable to voice your own opinion or defend yourself? Well, for Moses' parents, it was a serious challenge. They would have to, by God's grace, figure it out and trust God to do what they could not do. Now, God was able, God is always able to prepare folks for spiritual greatness, and he can use means that we can't understand. Lord, why? How many times have you ever asked the Lord, why? Why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this? Lord, this is not a good time. Well, God is able to use means that we cannot understand, and he can do so like a surgeon uses them, uses a scalpel in his surgery. Now, I can't imagine operating on maybe that delicate area of the heart. An aneurysm is a very serious thing, obviously, or maybe operating on doing eye surgery or just any kind of surgery is very serious, but it's also very delicate. But Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and the intents of the heart." And God is able to use adversity, adverse circumstances, or an adverse environment in which he can use that in a way that he can divide between the heart and the intent, and between the and so on, and the intents of the heart. And he can do that and use that and shape that and mold that so that when he is done, he has a finished product that he's pleased with, for sure. Now, consider Joseph. When God used Joseph to protect the very family that hated him, and what he had to endure during that time of 12 to 20 some odd years, God used adversity to bring about his plan through the life of the man Joseph. But he had to put Joseph through the paces. Situations that he probably couldn't understand. How is this going to... Have you ever had your children, well, I don't understand what good this math is going to do me at some particular point. I don't understand how going through getting good marks in an English class is going to help me out. Boy, don't I wish I'd paid closer attention during English class. I had no idea I'd be a pastor someday, that English might be just somehow vital along the way. But you know how that goes. We're young and we think we know all about the future. But it's amazing what God can bring forth out of adversity. It's a sort of a miracle, if you will. Even our Lord had to deal with adversity in his lifetime. So why you and I as children of the Lord somehow feel that we shouldn't have to endure adversity. so that out of that adversity would come a means of reconciliation, a means for us sinners to reconcile back to God. So he had to endure that adversity for you and for me. But secondly tonight, intentions versus intentions. If you will, Exodus chapter 2. Looking at verse 11. And verse 11 says there, "And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out into his brethren, unto his brethren, and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian, smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way," and that, isn't that always amazing? Preacher's not around. Congregation's nowhere around in sight. We kind of look to the left, we look to the right, because no one that we know is looking on. So he simply said, and he looked this way, and he looked that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Folks, you cannot bury your sin for very long. Moses at some point had to realize the connection that he had with the Hebrews. Perhaps it was instilled by his mother as she nursed him in those very early years and was eventually taken over to Pharaoh's house. Perhaps it logically followed his life was spared for a reason, as he probably listened to his mom say that you are, and she saw both Amram and Jochebed saw that he was a special child. And they hit him in bulrush and probably explained all that to him, and how Pharaoh's daughter happened to come up on him, and how Miriam happened to be. You know, these were not just circumstances. God worked his plan, so everything was where it should be at the right time, at the right place, and it came about. Or it may be that he was raised and educated in Pharaoh's house with power and influence, and figured that somehow, being a Hebrew, that God put him in this particular position so that he could use that influence and that power to lead his people out of bondage, out of slavery. But the problem being that he took it upon himself to act according to his perception, and he rose up and he killed an Egyptian. While his intentions may have been good, it was not what God had in mind. God had different intentions than what Moses had. We need to be careful. So Moses was acting contrary to the will of God for his life and God's plan for the Hebrew people. The problem was not so much the taking of the Egyptian's life, because he probably would have died in the Red Sea anyway, but we don't know that. But it wasn't in Moses's, it wasn't in God's plan for Moses to do what he had done, although God did use that and forced Moses out of Egypt to the backside of the desert where he met his wife. So though it was not right to be sure, and though in time many would drown in the Red Sea, the problem was Moses acting outside of God's will. And any time we act outside of the will of God, it creates all sorts of problems. You can look down through history. Well, Abraham and Sarah. Well, maybe God meant this. Now, I think they had good intentions. It's just that they were not God's intentions. And as a result of that, they have been paying the price ever since to the line of Ishmael. And so as you go through scriptures, be aware of these instances where people look at what God has said and then begin to try to say, well, maybe, anytime you say maybe, sometimes we just need to be patient and give God time. That things don't have to be done in a fortnight. It may be a little bit longer that God has to work some things together to get things where he wants them to be. But when we get ahead of God, we get outside the will of God, and we do create additional problems for ourselves. But it did prove Moses wasn't ready for the task that God had in mind. And that's what God's waiting for. Are you going to be patient? Are you going to be mature? Because it takes maturity to be patient, doesn't it? Because impatient people, boy, you know, they're just not willing to wait. They want what they want when they want it. Nor was Joseph ready. You know what? As good as Joseph was, he wasn't ready for prime minister of Egypt. God had to put him through some paces. I've given you a vision. I have given you dreams. And I want you to know I've got something wonderful. I've got something really grand planned for you. But I'm going to have to humble you a little bit. You're going to have to go through some adversity to kind of knock off the I got this attitude, if you will. Now, we don't have any idea, but we know that there's a reason that God put Joseph through that adversity. So God would use adversity to grow Moses. He would use adversity to grow Jacob, as Moses and Jacob as well. So he was going to bring them up to prepare them for what it was that God had prepared. So that's where we're going to get going with Moses. We're going to be looking at Moses over the next several weeks, but going to kind of give you an idea of some things. Here's a man that we can pay close attention to, and we can learn an awful lot from the man Moses. And that one of the things that we learn is that God's call to whatever it is doesn't always mean that it's going to be an easy road. I can't imagine how Joshua must have felt when Moses turned the mantle over to him. Moses complained to God a couple of times about this stiff-necked people, and now all of a sudden Joshua, who was in that position of leadership under Moses, had to say, "Lord, do I really want this mess? Do I really want these people?" So even though it may be the direction that God is leading you, it doesn't always mean it's going to be an easy road. But you'll have peace on that road anyway, in spite of the potholes and whatever else you may run into and encounter on that particular road. So I think we'll learn a lot from Moses and be able to glean some of those things. But all right, so we're going to get into our... Before we do that, though, Rosa, we get your first year award here. And your first... Steve will take that back to you there. You were in the nursery this morning and didn't want to disrupt the nursery, so... So anyway, at this particular point, we'll call them... I need one down here, too. Do you not have a copy of the business meeting here? All right, do we have a motion to call the business meeting to order? Dave, have a second? Someone second it? James Smith, Jim Smith. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. The purpose of the business meeting here is to discuss. I also have a proposal in here, too, as well. But we'll get to that a little bit later here. For the year January 1st, 2018 to December 31st, 2018. The first thing that we have to acknowledge.